Welcome to Champions and Challengers, discussions on the legal edge of fintech, hosted by Greg Listini and other attorneys from Bricker Graydon, a full-service law firm with more than 200 attorneys with expertise in financial services, insurance, and insurance tech law, and clients across the country, where we feature CEOs, founders, legal advisors, and industry professionals exploring business, technology, regulatory trends, and legal trends that are reshaping the financial services industry.
Welcome to Champions and Challengers, a FinTech review of innovation and regulation. I'm Liz Martini, an attorney practicing in the insurance regulatory, corporate, and government relations spaces, and I'm a proud member of our financial services industry team at Bricker & Eckler. Today, I am very pleased to be joined by Karina Horton of Yellow Cardinal Advisory Group. Hey, Karina.
Hi, how are you, Liz?
I'm doing great. Karina is the Director of Succession Planning at Yellow Cardinal, and Karina previously served as a Vice President at PNC Bank and Fifth Third as well. A wealth of experience in banking, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
Karina and I were introduced by our mutual connection at First Financial, Mark Mosier, a couple of months ago. He knew we both worked in a similar space with business owners, and he said to me, you just have to meet Karina. Well, he was right. So Karina and I met up, and I love your energy and enthusiasm, as well as your love of dogs.
Indeed.
Which we share. And you happen to be a UC grad, which is even better. So go Bearcats.
Yep, go Bearcats.
All right, so when we were talking a couple of months ago, mm-hmm. I do a lot of work with business owners and you do as well. Why don't you tell us more about your background and how that evolved into where you are today?
I'd be delighted. So way back in the day, which seems like a lifetime ago, I started in the financial services industry, serving private clients, more in a wealth management capacity. Didn't take me long to figure out that there are different levels of client. And the clients that resonated with me the most were those that were C-suite executives and business owners, because they have a very different set of needs. Their vision is also quite different. And their expectations are a little bit more complex. So I started tailoring my practice from the very beginning toward that set of individual clients. Over the years, that evolved in a more practical sense where I began not just managing assets, but also doing complex wealth planning for those individuals, really focusing on employee retention, stock options, various strategies that are necessary for high-level executives and or business owners in building the strategic vision for their company, not just themselves. Again, fast forward a few years later, and that really started morphing into focusing on the business as a primary lead-in, because it's very difficult for owners to find somebody who can give them advice that will range all the way from what is my company doing really well to what do I need to do to make sure I can retire and live comfortably. Particularly for our owners who are in the enterprise value space of somewhere between 20 and 100 million, tough to find that advisory capacity. So the demand was great. And I saw a need that needed to be filled.
And so tell us how you're filling that need today.
Well, what we've built, and I'm very proud to be part of the team that built this at my previous employer at PNC, and I'm continuing that on here at First Financial now. We're really trying to help our clients who are business owners understand the broad impact of succession and exit planning. We realize that is a nebulous term to some. Not all folks are really familiar with what in the world is an exit plan anyway. And even if I know what one is, how do I do that? So we're trying to bring that proactive advice and information to our clients, preferably 2 to 5 years before they would actually be ready to make that exit. In some cases, it's sooner than that, and in others, it's a little later than that. But in any case, we're trying to help owners understand perceptions of value. You know, what's a realistic expectation for what is my company worth? What does that mean in terms of an exit strategy? What are my options? What are the pros, the cons, the math, the process to each one of those options? And which one, or maybe two or three, are actually going to be feasible and make sense for me? We model that for our clients. We help them understand the differences in timing, terms, value within each of those. And then once we've gotten that structured for the impact on the business, we start to morph that into the impact of them personally. How does that affect their own cash flow, their own personal goals and objectives from a wealth standpoint? How does that affect their taxes, their estate plan, philanthropic or legacy goals that they might have, things that will continue on well beyond themselves for both the company and their family?
You know, you mentioned exit strategy. I can't tell you how many business clients I've counseled where we talked about things like, for starters, an operating agreement. And one of the reasons why it's so important to have, you know, a living, breathing document like that up front is not so much at the beginning, it's down the road when things change. And, you know, what do you do in different circumstances? And if you don't have a plan, and you don't have it in writing, that can really cause you difficulty down the road.
You're 100% correct. And that's the reason that we really count on partners like yourself, Liz, because we can't write those documents without folks who are educated themselves about how the exit planning works from a legal and a tax advisory standpoint. Being able to read those documents is one thing, but helping a client articulate what their ever-changing goals and objectives are into a legally enforceable document that accurately reflects those expectations is something we really value partners like you for.
Well, I'm sure you have occasion to work with a lot of different professionals, including, you know, in addition to yourself, you know, lawyers, accountants,
all sorts of
financial advisors.
Yes, the one runs the gamut. And in some cases, when we're focusing on family transfers, believe it or not, we do bring in a family office that has a counselor aspect to it as well. There's more than just financial implications. There's emotional ones that need to be addressed too.
Very much so. So tell me how technology has helped you connect to your target market and communicate with them.
For business owners in particular, it's been such a blessing. Many owners will only allow me to show up one or two times in person before somebody starts asking questions about who is that person and why does she keep showing up with that laptop? And what are you doing in there? And do I need to be worried? So technology in particular has aided us in facilitating these conversations in what feels like a face-to-face manner, but is really happening behind closed doors in a private setting. Even through the pandemic, when we were all really gearing into that world, it was something that happened. It was starting to happen before that and has very much continued. I do need to see in person some of these things, but we can certainly facilitate the grand majority of these conversations and data review and analyses over things like Zoom and in the WebEx and all of the online meeting forums we have. The other thing that technology has really helped in the succession planning world is that we can coordinate data entry readily. If an owner is so inclined to start building their assessment themselves, the ability on a secure site to enter some of their own information relating to P&L statements, balance sheets, cash flows is incredibly helpful. We can then move at the pace they set. We can see the information as they've entered it. And it really facilitates a faster speed of conversation.
And are there ways in which you can do that so that the access is limited, for example, to you, the attorney, the financial advisor, the family advisor?
Absolutely. So, yep, ownership is really a named process. So those folks who can access that information are given permissions outright to do so. It's trackable. We can see who's in it, who's not, who's changed things. So if an owner enters something and perhaps later I override that entry, we'll know that that was a change that I made. Conversely, if I see that I've entered something and an owner has changed it, that does spark a conversation. Hey, I see that you changed something in this report. Can you tell me what that was about? It really is, again, facilitating an open line of conversation. So we're always on the same page and knowing who's in there and who's changing what. It also facilitates a much faster speed of information sharing. so that we can see all of our external partners are engaged. We're all in nearly real time able to coordinate together in a very efficient manner so that we're putting our heads together simultaneously to come up with what is really a thorough, comprehensive, well thought out strategy rather than things done in silos.
So you mentioned the pandemic and working through that. How did the pandemic help you with such a rapid shift in the use of technology? Can you relate your experience navigating through that challenge?
100%. So it did create many funny stories, as we all have, trying to figure out how to facilitate online meeting spaces with a large group of people. There was the challenge, as we've all sort of mastered now, that we can't all talk at once. Then you hear nothing. So that was a very unique challenge because, you know, when you get someone like me and an attorney and accountant who are all very passionate about what we do, we tend to talk at the same time, supporting one another or adding expanded comments. And that was a particular challenge that we've all learned to overcome. But the other issue was security. And even before the pandemic, we understand and respect the measure of confidentiality that needs to be in place with these types of conversation. The last thing an owner wants is for the information to leak out into the marketplace that they're even thinking of an exit. Regardless of the type of exit, that's something that we honor in the most strict manner. Doing things online, and working through the pandemic in a way helped because we didn't have to worry so much about who was sitting at the next table over in a restaurant that might overhear us. But it did matter when there were other people in the household or other partners walking through on the WebEx that were taking notes. We had to be sure that everyone was very much aware of the utmost in privacy and confidentiality that needed to continue to take place in any circumstance.
So how has the pandemic shifted the way business is done?
Well, in an interesting way, it again has lent itself to helping us facilitate conversations more readily with owners who were reluctant to engage because they didn't want anyone to know they were even talking with us about it. But in another way, it has actually prompted many business owners to have this plan in place where there really wasn't a huge motivator before. The pandemic was a little bit scary for all of us, and for some, it remains to be such. So owners were really brought to the forefront of, what am I going to do? If something happens to me, what's going to happen to this company, to my customers, to my employees, to my suppliers? I really need to get this figured out, not just for themselves in a long-term exit strategy, but in the interim from a risk mitigation standpoint. If something unforeseen, sudden, tragic happens, are we ready? Is the company ready? Is my family ready? The unique coordination of the succession planning engagement we offer is that, again, we extend it all the way through to the owners and key employees from a personal planning standpoint. So are things titled correctly? Are we avoiding probate? Does your buy-sell agreement match your operating agreement? And if not, what needs to be fixed? The pandemic really highlighted the need to have a plan.
I couldn't agree with you more. That was my experience as well. I've done estate planning for clients over the last several years, and I definitely saw a significant uptake in the demand, and including younger families, you know, people who are, you know, in their 30s and they're just starting out and they've got, you know, two or three children and gee, you know, we need to have something in place, and just the recognition and the motivation to do that, whereas they didn't have it before. Do you see that with business owners at all ages and levels now?
Absolutely. There was quite a gap before between what I would call the up and coming generation of business owners and the ones who had been running their business for 30 plus years. The outlook on that was extraordinarily different, and we've seen that gap narrow drastically through the pandemic. Again, it's underscored the need to have a plan at every stage. Whether you are just starting out and you've just gotten your first loan and you're launching your business, or you've been in this business for 30 some years and you're trying to make sure that it's going to continue after your retirement, The need for that plan is imperative at every stage. The world is full of unexpected twists, turns, and surprises. Some of them are very positive, some of them are very challenging. So helping the younger business owners understand the needs as they evolve over time in a forward-looking fashion has been such a blessing to them as well, because they're preparing not only for what's happening today, but for what may happen tomorrow.
What advice would you give to business owners across the board who don't have a plan in place?
I can't emphasize enough that it is never too early to start. Many owners will say, well, I'm not ready. You know, I don't really plan to exit for another 8 or 10 years. We don't always plan for things that happen to us. So my number one advice is please don't wait, because the unexpected does occur, and it's very difficult to be sure that you are meeting the needs and expectations of those counting on you in the business and those counting on you in your family when you're under pressure and you have a clock ticking to do so. It's much more challenging to negotiate in a position of favorable stance when you're under pressure to make a decision quickly. Having time on your side to think through the complexities of what do I really want? What is my priority? What are my objectives? Is a question many business owners never really address. It's not something that comes to the forefront of their thoughts on an average Sunday morning. It's something that does take someone coaching you through, pushing you a little bit to give thought and consideration to. And it's very worthwhile, because what your priorities and objectives are the starting point for a successful exit strategy that, again, benefits everyone counting on that plan and adequately prepares you for the unexpected.
So how do you get these business owners to seek you out?
Well, we offer our engagement to existing clients of the bank, primarily those who we lend to the company for. So we're looking internally at owners who don't have a succession plan, who have been struggling to formulate, where do I begin? How do I know what my options are, and who can I trust? We help them understand that we're an agnostic partner in this. It doesn't matter to us what your exit option is. Doesn't matter to us when you do it or how you do it, so long as you are well educated in knowing what those options are and which ones make the most sense for you. It is an agnostic point for us what all the nuances along the way are, but it's a very important point to them as clients. So our hope is that as owners come to engage us in this service, they understand that the trust they're placing in us is not undervalued at all. We very much respect that this is the biggest decision that they may ever have to make, that this is something relating to what I equate to is a very much parent-child relationship. They have created something that didn't exist before. They have poured their time, their energy, their souls, and certainly their money into growing something that they are proud of, that someday can stand on its own, being a productive part of the world around us. And there's an emotional component to that. We are very respectful of that relationship, and we want them to feel reassured every step of the way that we're supporting them in that endeavor to the greater good. For those clients, knowing that we are an agnostic objective party brings great peace of mind. And we hope that that's something that retains that family relationship with us for a lifetime.
Tell me more about the institutions. You know, your connection, affiliation with First mm-hmm. Financial, as well as Yellow Cardinal Advisory Group, and as well as the recent acquisition, which is very exciting to hear.
It is very exciting, and I'm actually very proud of our unique name. Yellow Cardinal Advisors is, in fact, a subsidiary of First Financial Bank. It's meant to be a distinguishing section within the bank that focuses primarily on the highly affluent and particularly business owner segment of our client base. Yellow Cardinal itself is a real thing. There is a genetic anomaly in the world of birding for yellow cardinals, and they happen to be a 1 in a million anomaly. And as such, we hope that the clients who are part of Yellow Cardinal Advisories have a 1 in a million experience in working with us. Funny story, in finding out options for our name, somebody suggested cadmium, which, as a closet geologist myself, happens to be a beautiful yellow mineral. It also happens to be carcinogenic. So we quickly nixed that name in favor of yellow cardinal. We did, again, very happily acquire recently Brady Ware Capital. They are a small M&A advisory firm primarily operating out of northern Ohio into Michigan. They're a partner that we have worked with for many years in serving our clients to actually sell businesses to the market. Previous to that acquisition, we were partners with our client in designing those strategies and partnering with external firms to take a business to market for sale. But now we very happily have the ability to carry that owner all the way through that transaction to closing and beyond with the acquisition of the Brady Ware team. We're super happy to have them as part of our group now.
Well, that's fantastic. So what else is in store for Yellow Cardinal?
We are presently expanding our opportunities into broader investment realms. We are creating our own private family office that will cater to the ultra high net worth individuals. We understand, again, the level of complexity and advice that families that have 20 to 30 million or more in their estate or assets under management require some very customized, very high level expertise with partners who are spending their careers building around that type of advice. We are acquiring several folks to help us in that endeavor. We're also considering the future expansion of the bank into other areas that may include our own tax advisory and perhaps expanding into a brokerage division as well, but more to come on those, we hope, down the road.
That's fantastic. There are so many different financial tools in the arsenal. And one of the areas of interest that I have, as well as my firm, Bricker & Eckler, is in the area of insurance. And I know that you mentioned buy-sell agreements. Can you talk a little bit about how insurance can help a business owner better prepare for the future?
100%. So buy-sells are an often overlooked piece when focusing on the business assessments themselves, but they are critical. Owners are probably the least educated in how a buy-sell agreement works and even less educated in how to fund them properly. Insurance is the go-to tool for funding the majority of buy-sell agreements. There's a number of options within that realm for who owns the insurance policy and how those benefits are calculated. But they are an extremely flexible, readily applicable way to meet the funding requirement within a buy-sell. It is a great challenge for business owners to find liquidity in many cases. The business is typically their largest asset. As such, it's an illiquid asset that comprises much of their estate. It's very difficult in a especially tragic situation, perhaps funding the death of an owner. It's hard to come up with a significant amount of money in a short period of time to properly carry out a purchase agreement that's outlined within a buy-sell. Insurance is a ready-made solution for that that is typically very affordable for most owners if structured properly.
So what other tools do you utilize with your financial planning?
In addition to the buy-sell agreements and the review of that, we are offering valuation services. So we can offer an opinion of value. We also offer, again, a comprehensive wealth plan using a number of software tools that would, again, aggregate the business aspect of the exit plan into the owner's personal financial situation. We also use a number of resources that help us do peer reviews for those businesses. So once we let you know how much is the business realistically worth, we want to give you perspective on that. So we leverage tools to help us give you a picture into where does your business fit within your industry as a whole. Are you operating at the top tier performance level of your industry? Are you near the middle, or perhaps are you below average? Within that subset, we want to offer you what we call a key performance indicator glimpse. How well are you operating on the value drivers within that business? What are your areas for opportunity of improvement? And if you'd like to expand your multiple, where should you start in a meaningful way?
Well, you obviously are very passionate about business owners and being able to help them. So what issues keep you up at night?
Owners not planning. So We're back to that same start. You know, many owners don't realize what an exit strategy actually comprises and how long it takes. On average, again, some are shorter, some are longer. The average owner should expect to invest 12 to 18 months in building a strategic, disciplined exit strategy. Oftentimes, I get an owner call me up and say, especially after the pandemic, I'm really tired. I'm exhausted, and I would have liked to retire 6 months ago. How quickly can I get out? It's far more difficult to put together, again, a comprehensive, holistic exit plan that meets everyone's needs in just a few months. So the sooner you start, the better it is. And the more time that we have to curate a solution that really does check off the box that everyone has. Waiting until the last minute is the worst situation. The other thing that keeps me up at night is not forgetting the personal aspect. It is an emotional process for any exit strategy. Owners that don't give thought to what does a life after exit look like often have regrets. They really have no idea what has fulfilled them all of these years. Is it the people? Is it the cash flow? Is it the freedom? What is it that has driven them through all of the years of growing their business? And what do they need to continue that sense of fulfillment after a transaction? It's very important to have an owner consider those things well in advance so they look back in happiness instead of in regret.
When it comes to technology, what sorts of mobile app tools would you recommend to business owners? And is there anything that either First Financial or Yellow Cardinal has developed that you could share with us?
Mobile apps are necessary, I'd say, in any industry anymore, certainly within banking. It's very important for owners to be accessing their cash flow, their treasury management. I would tell you from an experience standpoint, having the accessibility through a mobile app or just an online access to track where your users are is very important. I've unfortunately seen a number of instances where owners fail to track who has a corporate card, who's spending our money, where is our cash going, only to find out that there were some irresponsible purchases made that were ultimately meaningful and impactful to the company in a negative way. Having that online access, having the ability to monitor and track these things at your fingertips anytime you'd like is going to prevent things like that from happening. Knowing where the cards are, knowing who's spending them, knowing what it's being spent on is critical in an effective cash flow management standpoint. And a lot of owners don't take the time to do that. We do offer those services here because we understand that need.
So how does that mobile app technology help you better connect with business owners?
Well, we can see inefficiencies. So if we see that an owner is spending in a particular area or is maybe not utilizing more appropriate cash management systems, we know what solutions to actively bring to that owner. We can identify an opportunity that maybe they aren't aware of that's going to save them time, money, is more efficient, that's going to help in better communicating with the people like a controller who are running the company, along with the folks who are managing the people who have access to the money of the company. So we're trying to coordinate our efforts to make life simpler for those decision makers at the business in a very proactive way.
So to the extent you can share this, tell me about your 1, 3, and 5 year plan for Yellow Cardinal.
I can tell you limited access to that. I can tell you within the next 1 year, 12 months, we do plan on making a couple of acquisitions that will expand our offering primarily to the business owner world. Beyond that, we're really focusing on the next generation. We want to make sure that the business owners that we are helping to phase out of ownership today and get them into the hands of the next generation are well educated, again, on how to formulate a plan from the beginning. We understand that communication and fluidity of communication are paramount. We are investing in our 3-year plan significant resources to improve technology, both internally for our own employees, but also connectivity for our clients on the outside. We're expanding our app. We're improving our online presence. We're engaging social media to be sure that everyone's aware of what we're offering and how they can engage us in doing that. And we're offering internal access to bigger, better, faster software that's not only going to improve security for our clients and ourselves, but is again going to allow us to have a cutting edge presence in offering the best applications for our clients and solving their problem.
What is it about First Financial and Yellow Cardinal that people seek out?
I think it's our hometown feel. I've been with First Financial now going on 2 years, and my background, I've come from some very large institutions, and I can tell you I felt the difference as an employee from the very beginning. We are in a position where we are large enough that we have the ability to do some pretty incredible things in a very rapid pace. We make decisions in a much faster sense than some of our larger competitors are able to do so, but we are small enough that we feel that we're still very much a part of our local communities. We see each other at church, at schools, at sporting events. We know our neighbors, we know our clients, they're friends of ours, and we treat them as such because it feels like they aren't just a client to us. They are more than that. The bank as a whole has very much embraced our presence as a community bank who happens to play in a world with a lot of other very large banks. We never intend to lose that community bank feeling, even if we are operating at a big bank level.
Are there any final thoughts that you'd like to share with us today? Obviously, it sounds to me like you are in the absolute right place right now with everything that's going on with First Financial and Yellow Cardinal.
We're very sensitive to the growing dynamic of our client base. We understand that we need to be in a position to serve clients at various stages of their life. Whether you're looking for someone to help you manage a legacy trust relationship that's been passed down generationally, to someone who's starting the business for the first time and is hoping maybe they'll get a loan to help them launch them off the ground, and everyone in between, we want to be your bank of choice. And we understand that those needs differ from every situation. So we're building mobility and flexibility into all of that. And I think as you're choosing your partners in any arena, whether that's your accountant firm, whether that's your attorney, whether that's your investment advisor, your insurance broker, you need to have that sense of flexibility and that openness of mind that things will change and evolve over time, and be sure that those partners can evolve and change over time with you.
Well, this has been a really exciting discussion, and I am really anxiously awaiting the next move by First Financial and Yellow Cardinal Advisory Group. Karina, I want to thank you so, so much for joining me today, and I really appreciate your time and your insights on this topic. And that's all for today's episode, though, and hopefully we'll have a sequel sometime soon.
Sounds good to me. Likewise. Thank you so much, Liz. Very much appreciate being here.
All right. Bye now.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to Champions and Challengers, produced by Bricker Graydon. Join Greg Listini and other Bricker Graydon attorneys for our next podcast covering the latest fintech-related legal topics. The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own and do not reflect the views of Bricker Graydon. None of the content included in this podcast is intended to be legal advice and does not create or imply an attorney-client relationship.